previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
That's a good luck on Algoa FM. Rum and Cola, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, we alerted to the fact that we're going to chat to vaccines on the Thursday. It is a Thursday, Lee.
It is indeed, and we are, of course, talking about vaccinations as part of the Own Your Life campaign. And this morning on air, we're joined by Professor Hannelie Meyer. She's the head of the South African Vaccination and Immunization Centre at Sefako Makgato Health Sciences University. She's also the chair of the National Immunization Safety Expert Committee.
And since joining SAVIC in 2013, Professor Meyer's dedicated her time to immunization-related activities, including serving as part of two ministerial advisory committees while also serving in the Division of Public Health Pharmacy at SMU. Currently, she also serves as the chair of the National Immunization Safety Expert Committee. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks. And yourself?
We are fine, thanks. Professor, let's get straight down to business. In your opinion, what is fueling vaccine hesitancy?
You know, when you look at all the various surveys that's been conducted, it's very evident that the main issue around vaccine hesitancy is, something that people are concerned about is the safety of the vaccine. So that's usually the first reason that they would provide, you know, for being hesitant to get vaccinated. And, you know, in my opinion, this is fueled by all the misinformation that's been spread, mostly on social media and so on. And it started actually when we first got to know about the COVID-19 pandemic. It started with all these conspiracy theories. So if you look at, you know, the last survey actually said that 71% of South Africans will accept the COVID-19 vaccine. But that acceptance doesn't really translate into actually going to get the vaccine. So what I always tell people is you need to weigh the benefits against the risk, because people are scared of, you know, possible adverse events or side effects. But if you look at, you know, the minute chance of you getting one of those adverse events against, you know, the chances of you getting infected with COVID-19 and developing severe disease, those are the things that you need to weigh up. And then the last thing that people need to now really think about is the long-term effects of COVID-19, what's known as long COVID or post-COVID symptoms. So there's evidence now that, you know, up to about 30% of people who have COVID-19 suffer with these long-term effects. And, you know, there's not, we don't know yet, you know, for how long these will continue and how to manage them. So that is really something that people need to consider. And then, you know, some people also are complacent. They think, oh, I'm not at risk, or I've had COVID-19 already, I won't get it again. So those are the things fueling vaccine hesitancy at the moment.
Prof, you know, we speak about what is fueling the hesitancy, and you mention fear. So we know that misinformation or even lack of understanding very often fuels fear itself. So with that being said, won't you just take us through, you know, just the intricacies of what are vaccines actually made of, you know, and how are they made? What's in the vaccine? Just to try and to get around the understanding and the misinformation bit.
Okay, yes. So many people also think that these vaccines haven't been tested properly because it happened so quickly. So if you look at the normal development or the usual development of vaccines, it can take 10 to 20 years, and it's a very expensive process, and it can cost millions of dollars. So within the pandemic, that whole process was actually sped up by a number of factors. I can also speak to those specifically. But what people need to know is that, you know, it's a very long process. So first, it starts with the exploratory stage where a lot of research is done in laboratories to develop these vaccines. So that can take 2 to 4 years. So, yeah, they would identify the specific antigen that would now help to prevent or treat a specific disease. But now in the case of vaccines, we're looking at preventing a disease. So some of this already happened prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, because You know, they've already worked for years on these new platforms. Also, it's a SARS virus, so they've done a lot of research on that as well. So that already made it, you know, easier to develop the vaccine. Then it goes into what we call the preclinical stage. So at that stage, this is now where the vaccine or the antigen would be tested in a laboratory, you know, in cells, and then they would also move to animal testing, where they test it in, for example, mice and monkeys. And only when they found that, you know, it's safe to use, and also how these vaccines can be administered, then it goes into the clinical trial. Now, all vaccines must go through three stages of the clinical trial. And now, also, you know, at each of these stages, all the data is being reviewed by the regulatory authorities, like, for example, the FDA, the EMA, and so on, to make sure, you know, that it is safe and it can continue to the next stage. So if you look at how many people, countries, groups have tried now to develop vaccines, many of these vaccines don't even make it to the clinical trials. They already, you know, sort of fall out at the stage of, say, of the laboratory testing or the animal testing. So then it goes into those clinical trials. And at each of these trials, you know, certain things are being tested or being looked at. And also with the trials, the number of participants would increase. So in the first stage, it would only be between, say, 20 and less to 100 volunteers. And it's only tested in healthy adult volunteers. The next stage would include a couple of hundreds of people, say up to 500, 600, 700 of people. Then when it gets to the third stage, that's now where you have tens of thousands of people where they then test these vaccines. And you know, throughout all these trials, they are asking these questions. Is the vaccine safe? What is the dose that works best? How does the immune system react to it? So these are the things that they show. Safety and efficacy is something that they are looking at throughout each of these clinical trial stages. Now, also, if you want to know about what is in the vaccine, because that's also something that people are asking. They are not certain. Some people even think that, you know, we are hiding these ingredients from them. But the vaccine, each and every vaccine contains basically four main ingredients, just similar to medicines. And all of these are also being tested to make sure that they are safe and effective throughout all these stages that I've explained. And these ingredients are also available in the vaccine's product information. Like for medicines, you would get a package insert. So it is similar for vaccines. So that information is also available to the public. So I can maybe explain what is in the vaccine. So firstly, there's the active ingredient, which is now the antigen that must now actually do the work of the vaccine to protect the person. So with our COVID-19 vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine has got the mRNA, the messenger RNA, and the J&J vaccine has got an adenovirus that carries the code for the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. But then there's also excipients in the vaccine. So these excipients are there for a number of reasons. So you would, for example, have adjuvants. They help to boost the immune response of the antigen in the body. So it helps the vaccines to work better. Then there are lipids. So they are very specific also for the COVID-19 vaccine. And they protect that very fragile messenger RNA, and they help to deliver it to the cell. And then there are also stabilizers and emulsifiers. So these are common things that we actually find in our everyday lives, in our food, in our environment. Like, for example, salt. They help to balance the acidity in your body and so that the vaccine will remain stable. There are, for example, sugars. They help to maintain the molecules during the freezing stage. And then there are also acids to maintain the stability of the vaccine. So these are the main things that we find in our COVID-19 vaccines. But in other vaccines, like in some of the children's vaccines, you would, for example, also get gelatin, which is used as a stabilizer. Some of them would contain very few preservatives, mainly in multi-dose vials. So each one of them has got a specific purpose for being included in the vaccine.
Professor, I think you've answered a lot of questions many people have been asking, but we are running out of time, unfortunately. But thanks for joining us on the show this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks.
That's Professor Hanlie Meyer, head of the South African Vaccination and Immunization Center at Sefako Magatho Health Sciences University, also chair of the National Immunization Safety Expert Committee as well, joining us on the show this morning.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.